Welcome back, everybody, to the Ranting Munchers, a fan podcast devoted to FX is the Strain. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Hank.
And we're back to discuss Season 3, Episode 3, entitled Firstborn. And in this episode, Satrakian and Fate. It could be Fate, I guess.
It could be. I've done that actually in my mind a lot of times because you combine... Yeah, first and last.
And it throws you off every time. But Satrakian and Fett race to recover the Oxido Lumen. Gus and Angel try to hide a secret house guest while avoiding a police sweep. And Quinlan's thirst for vengeance is revealed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lots of vengeance going around in this episode.
Lots of great Quinlan stuff.
Yes. Definitely. Lots and lots of great Quinlan stuff. This episode was directed by Ken Jurati, is what I'm going to go with, you know?
It's going to be wrong regardless, so.
Yeah, that's about as close as I can get. Hank will appreciate this guy very, very much, and I think it may lead into why I think Hank liked this episode so much. This guy has directed 2 episodes of The Strain. He actually directed, you know, this one that we just watched. He also directs next week's Gone But Not Forgotten. So they're kind of doing a thing where the directors get 2 episodes.
Which I think is smart.
Yeah, Game of Thrones style, right? Isn't that how they do it?
I think they used to do it like that. Now they seems like they go back and forth all the time with Game of Thrones directors. But yeah, in the past they were a little bit better about that. He also directed Orphan Black. Daredevil.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he directed one of our favorite episodes of Daredevil, the Semper Fidelis episode. That was awesome. He's actually directed some Killjoys, Escape Velocity. He directed that episode.
Wow.
And then Vikings. He directed 14 episodes of Vikings.
Wait, this guy's my hero. What's his name?
Yeah, no kidding.
Exactly.
He's done them all.
Yeah, I know. All your favorite stuff, man. Like, this guy's killing it. And the episode was actually written by Chuck Hogan himself, the man behind the book. Which,
that explains it.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I always tend to like Hogan's episodes, even since season 1.
Yeah, he always gets some nice episodes.
That is interesting because, I mean, I will, you know, let the cat out of the bag and say that I enjoyed this episode thoroughly.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, and I'm going to say this too. Another spoiler alert. This was my favorite episode so far this season.
Me too.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, I didn't have to wait until the very end before I liked it. Everything about it was good. The entire episode I thought was exciting. So I know this is kind of a spoiler alert for what my bacon score is going to be.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
No, that
sounds like a lot of bacons.
I know. Maybe more than 5 bacons. That would be incredible. I agree with you, though, and both of you guys. Let's get into our top moments from this episode, so that way, you know, we can reveal those bacon scores that you guys
yes.
are talking
okay.
about.
Yes, okay. All right, so I loved everything that was a flashback. I did love the Kelly and F flashback, but I mean the flashback to 5880 Romania, Quinlan's back.
Yeah, the Quinlan stuff.
Oh, so glorious. I just loved it. I loved the older lady that saved him and, you know, basically trained him to be all that he became. I
thought you were going to say that he could be all he could be.
All that he could be.
In the army.
Yes. I taught him to talk. And what's so great is he's got that amazing speaking voice, and to know that, you know, he was pretty much a grown man before he actually learned how to speak was pretty cool. But I think it's hard for me to choose which part was my favorite as far as the backstory, but I loved the whole myth part of his birth and the fact that the master sowed the seeds of his own destruction by creating Quinlan.
Yeah.
Not on purpose. But he
said something about he heard 2 heartbeats, but he didn't, you know, kill him or do anything about it, right?
Well, and see, that's I was going to ask you guys, because the myth was, I guess it was a prophecy, basically, that the master would basically create his own destruction
right.
By doing what the master does, and that's, you know, turning people into Strigoi. Was it because, I don't know, was it because the prophecy, I mean, that he, after he heard the second heartbeat, maybe he wanted to kill him, Quinlan, but he couldn't? I don't know.
Well, he said something about he couldn't, but yeah, he didn't explain exactly why he couldn't kill the...
Well, to me, it felt just like... Hank will probably get this a lot. It felt very reminiscent of Harry Potter. Like, that's the first thing I'm thinking of, is just that this is Voldemort and Harry Potter, and he is trying to kill this person, but the mother loved, you know, Quintus or Quinlan so much that, you know, that bond was so strong that it made it where the master could not kill the kid, which being Quintus / Quinlan, because I was confused about that too. I was like, wait, his name's Quintus now, it's not Quinlan? Or he just, maybe he wanted to change his name up after
he modernized it a little.
He lost his dear old mom. So that's the only thing I could think of, because it was a little bit interesting how he was talking about the backstory, and like you were saying, Kelly, the mythology of how he is basically, he made it where he created his mortal enemy right there.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, I was definitely thinking of Harry Potter whenever that happened. I was like,
well, that part didn't occur to me.
You're not a huge Harry Potter fan.
No,
like Hank
tried.
And I.
I've tried and tried and tried, and for some reason I just can't get into it. I don't know why.
It's so good. It's so good.
So sorry about that. But
how dare you?
I know. I know.
Where's my new mother at?
I know. Well, maybe you'll get lucky like Quintus did and have some sweet lady adopt you, because, you know, that wasn't his real mother. You know that, right?
What?
His real mother.
Real mother?
Was a Strigoi.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, his real mother wasn't a Strigoi. Not at first. She was a real human, just like he tells F that later, because F was trying to be all, you know, dirty about it. He's like, so how did that actually happen, you know, since you guys don't have any...
You don't have the plumbers.
Well, I mean, that's the first thing that we laughed about, was that their junk falls off when they when they get turned.
That's
very
true.
I thought that was an excellent point. You know, how do you procreate?
Yeah.
And I loved the whole description on how it came to be. So I don't know. I love the flashback, and I could do. I think I could stay in 58 AD Romania the strain forever.
Easily, me too.
Yeah, it's always
that
really
stuff
good.
Stuff is always my favorite stuff.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you guys. I wonder if that whole baby in utero thing ties into the fact Zach was born. That was in the amniotic sac or something, right? A call baby, she said. It was a call baby?
Yeah.
Yep. And does that have anything to do with why the master wants Zach? Does that tie back into that at all?
It has to.
It's just so weird.
Right. Yeah, sure. They wouldn't just do that. And, you know, Kelly talks about that they have that extremely special bond.
Right.
That no one can break. So...
I thought it was creepy seeing that bunch of mush, and then they poked it and all the water.
I know. The poking of the mush was a little disgusting.
That's worse than Strigoi stuff.
it was quite disturbing. But I'm with you guys, and I tried to research the Kull baby, and because I guess a baby born in the Kull is referred to as a Kull bearer. And
it's like 1 in 80,000 births or something.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy phenomenon. And yeah, there's lots of mythology and you know, stuff behind, you know, this Kull baby, Kull bearer thing. But I couldn't make heads or tails of anything what I was trying to find, because it says the phenomenon of the Kull, also known as the veil. And it says, the birth call or veil is a full face mask, which may be sometimes found covering the face of a child at birth. Such births are quite rare, and they hold special significance for the child born in such a manner. Yeah, and it says, there are many stories and myths about the call, many of them erroneous. I love erroneous. That's just my favorite word, erroneous.
Erroneous.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm assuming that Zach was born by cesarean, though, right? I mean,
That's kind of what I'm getting, because she wanted to have a natural birth, and it looked like they're like, nope, it's time to get the baby out. We got to cut him out, is what I'm assuming.
because F kept saying, breathe, breathe. She's like, stop with the breathing. But then it seemed like, they had to open her up.
Yeah.
And then that little package came out. Ew.
And let me just say, I'm sorry. I hate to be this way, but I'm going to be because I'm just so nitpicky. When Kelly, you know, sits up to see what's going on.
She looked fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you can't, when they've cut your stomach open like that, it's weeks and weeks before that you can sit up in that position again. I mean, it's because that's how Justin came into the world. They cut him out, and you can't sit up in the bathtub. You can't sit up in bed for weeks because, you know, they cut those muscles. So for her to just be bouncing up to say, hey, let me see what's going on.
And she looked great, too.
She looked great, too. And that's what I was thinking. They've made her, you know, so beautiful again, that, but still, she's not as a pretty muncher as she was even back when she was human. Right, I don't know. Right. She just looks so great.
She does look really, it's worked wonders for her.
Yeah.
The being a muncher is definitely worked wonders.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm reading more into it now.
Okay.
And I apologize. You know, I didn't have this fully prepared. I mean, we're just doing this after we watched the episode and everything. It says this article, which, you know, take this with a grain of salt. Because
it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
I'm not familiar with this website. It's like consin.org or something. I don't know. It says, in medieval times, the appearance of a caul on a newborn baby was seen as a sign of good luck. It was considered an omen that the child was destined for greatness. Gathering the caul onto paper was considered an important tradition of childbirth. The midwife would rub a sheet of paper across the baby's head and face, pressing the material of the caul onto the paper. The caul would then be presented to the mother to be kept as an heirloom. That seems kind of grody.
The smell would have to be horrible.
Yeah, that does seem gross. It said, some early modern European traditions linked being born with the caul to the ability to defend fertility and the harvest against the forces of evil, particularly witches and sorcerers. Over the course of European history, a popular legend developed suggesting that possession of a baby's caul would give its bearer good luck and protect that person from death by drowning. And we know that the strigoi cannot move over the oceans,
over
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or over water. You know, I don't know if they're worried about drowning or if it's just literally that they just, I don't know. I don't know why they can't move. I don't remember that part. It says, calls were therefore highly prized by sailors. Medieval women often sold these calls to sailors for large sums of money. A call was regarded as a valuable talisman. And there's a bunch of other, stuff, like, Croatian mythology about it, gypsy mythology about it. Yeah, it goes on and on. Icelandic, lots of different cultures believe in, the call has different significance in amongst those cultures. But, all interesting stuff. And
I'm just curious how it ties in with the master and why he wants the kid and all that,
Yeah.
Because I thought before it was just to get back at the guy that burnt his original body and whatever. But now it seems like there's more to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that they opened up, something new with this whole call baby thing.
There must have been because there, to me, it was a very weird opening to come in on that. I mean, I get where they were going in the sense that it also was
this episode.
it was also a way for Kelly to bond with Zach after he saw that horrificness of her eating the kid. So it's like, you're my baby. Let me tell you about how you were born and stuff. And he's like, oh man, that's even gross too, Mom.
Yeah.
Freaking me out over here.
Why'd you have to eat that kid?
Yeah, exactly. I get why they would do it, like her telling him a story to kind of open the episode after he saw that really bad stuff. But also, I'm with you, Hank, and I think you, Kelly.
Seems like there's more.
Yeah, it feels like there's more to that call baby story than meets the eye right now. So, all right, my favorite moment is this, and I'm going to use a quote that I'm going to read really quickly. Finally, the Oxido Lumen secret on how to defeat the Master and the Strigoi is revealed. One firmly grabs hold of it and uses it to smack the shit out of them.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome.
It was so good. I loved every bit of that moment whenever, Kelly and the spider munchers, they come up and F's like, he's like, fuck this, and he just beats the hell out of him with the Yogg-Sonnenstein lemon.
I know.
Yeah, and then he burns Kelly's face with it. Then he burns the other Spider-Muncher's face with it. It was great.
I loved how he used it as a shield when her stinger comes out, picks it up just in the right time, and she burns her stinger on it.
Oh, that was great.
It was pretty glorious. I think he's over her.
I think so.
Finally.
Yeah. I think it's time that he's gonna definitely be over Kelly, even though she is, like we just said, looking really hot.
Yeah, she looks great.
Yeah, Mr. Goy afterlife, that's for sure.
It's so funny when you see the flashbacks to what happened previously on The Strain, and you see her from last year, and you're like, holy shit, they made her look so bad last year. You know, I mean, she was bald, and that was another thing I noticed too, because the thing with Quinlan and F hanging out together, there was a shot that we had that was, you know, was shot in the distance. And I couldn't tell at first who it was because, you know, they're both bald. So I thought, well, is that why they're big buds, you know, the Chrome Dome buddy gang, you know, I don't know.
Bald dudes got to stick together.
I guess so. But anyway, yeah, they've definitely made her look better.
She's looking real good.
I just don't know why F would ever think, or maybe he didn't even care, that they would actually give the kid back so easily.
I mean, I thought
Quinlan was just setting him up and whatever, but
right.
I think he felt like, yeah, they would do the trade. I knew that wasn't going to happen.
I thought.
You thought it was that?
No, I didn't think when I saw the
spider monkey with the bag on his head.
The bag on his head. I'm like, not Zach.
Yeah, that's fishy.
We've seen that a lot lately, right? Me and you, Kelly, because they just used that on Fear the Walking Dead. I felt they just used that on Outcast too, right?
Yeah.
I think they didn't. Wasn't an episode of Outcast we watched?
Like someone with a bag over their head and
Spike. Yeah, and it seems like it was in one of the video games we just played too.
Oh, that's what it was. It wasn't an Outcast. It was one of the video games we just played where they totally tried to throw
it was the Michonne.
Yeah, it was Telltale's Michonne where they used the bag over the head and it was a walker again. So we've seen this a little bit too many times. But I honestly thought you knew it was coming. I mean, no, I didn't know it was coming. I thought that he honestly was going to bring Zach there. I mean, the master wants this book. Like, he wants it more than anything else. To me, it was almost kind of idiotic that he would try to pull one over on Ephraim. I forgot. That was probably one of my other favorite moments is whenever F was talking to the master, and I put talking in quotations. Mm-hmm. Whenever he gets that one Strigoi, and he's like, "Thanks for taking my call.
I'm hanging up now."
Yeah. And then when he said, "I got your goddamn book," and he said, "Don't you bring your Nazi butler?" And
yes, I'm just like, I know. I love that.
Yeah, that was cool. But the master wants his cake and eat it too. He wants that book so they can't kill him, but he wants the kid.
Well, see, and I think it's proof into what we've been talking about, how important, for whatever reason, Zach is to the master. Why are you laughing, Justin?
I thought you were going to say how important that book is, and I'm like, that book's been around for 13 episodes, and we still hadn't figured out what the hell is good about that book.
Then you can beat them up with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's what's great about it.
At least we got that, yeah.
When F gets the book, and then we immediately see him reading it, and I'm like, oh God, please no! I don't read it. Put it up. Let's trade this sucker. If I see one more person reading that stupid book, so
the old man couldn't read it. But F is gonna read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
figure it all out.
Yeah, that book. I think it's maybe one day we'll find out what's in that book. So,
and I think it would have to be pretty dang heavy.
Yeah,
yeah, it looks heavy, right?
Yeah, and F, he wielded it like it was light.
Like a notebook from the school. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe he's been working out in the off season.
Maybe.
That's what he was doing, you know. He was drinking booze and lifting weights.
Yeah, that must, you know.
Everybody knows that's how you get big. That's how you get swole right there. You're like, let me take a couple shots in between these sets.
All right, so, so now I guess our number one.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking about this, I think, since the first podcast of the season. I said, oh, my God, there's this moment in episode 3 that, you know, is the coolest. And the death of the master. I wasn't expecting that shit at all. That completely threw me. I'm like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, it was great the way Quinlan came out with, you know, just ready to kick ass and everything. But didn't he, when he converted Bolivar, he vomited a gazillion worms on him,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of a sudden here, they behead him, and this one little worm gets away. And so that's how the Master's going to live?
That's what I was thinking.
That was weird. Like, they're going back on their own mythology or what? You know? It confused me.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. We were talking about this before we started podcasting. It seems so easier in the past, so much easier for the worms to be transferred onto people. Like, yeah. if you shot them and their goo went on you. That sounds so gross.
Yeah, it does.
But the wormy goo got on you and it would...
You got them off and the yeah. goo got on you. What?
Exactly. And the Ew. Goo in your eye.
Yeah, exactly.
Never
right?
want goo in your eye.
Yeah, you definitely don't want the goo in your eye.
So I was really surprised too that this master didn't last long.
Yeah, it is
weird. How long did Bolivar last in the books? Do you guys remember at all?
I'm fairly certain Bolivar was there till the end.
I thought he was too. Okay.
Like, I mean, I
never got to the end in the books. So
the last book was rather weak, but and I don't, you know, I don't remember exactly. Maybe he didn't last till the end, but I could have swore that he was there till the end and was a big part of what happened with, you know, I'm not going to go any. Never mind.
Maybe this is like the Nora death, you know, to throw the book readers off completely and just go in a different direction.
It could be. I looked it up.
Because they like to do that.
I just did a Google search, and I was like, does the master die in the Strain books? And I'm like, well, that's probably not going to be very good because, you know, maybe he dies at the end or something
right,
like that.
Right.
I'm like, no, I want to know, does he die? Like, because right now we're basically, I think we would be in parts of the Fall.
And already?
That's the second book. Well, the Night Eternal is the final book.
Oh, the Night Eternal is the last.
Yeah, the Night Eternal is the last book, and I believe... I saw somewhere where I think the episode 10 of this season 3, that's the finale this year. If you didn't know, there's only 10 episodes. And I think it was called The Night Eternal. Like, I don't know where I saw that, but because it had like all the episode descriptions, or at least had the finale description or episode title name. And I thought it was called The Night Eternal. So I'm like, okay, well, that means we'll be getting to the final book in season 4.
I'm looking at it now. It says The Fall, episode 10, October 30th.
Oh, it's The Fall?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then never mind.
Yeah, because I think, didn't Carlton Cuse say that the second season and this one is a combination of the second book?
I
heard that somewhere, yeah.
Makes sense. Okay, well, then never mind. It's not
the Which is probably why this season's going to be so cool, because all the meat and potatoes in the second half, you know, of the story. Because the first one seemed like all setup stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think the second book was... Well, the first book, I think, was our favorite, right, Kelly?
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, the first book was really good, and then it just, they kind of... proceeded to get worse after that
first one grabbed me right away. I mean, I finished it in a couple of days. I couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
And then when I started the next one, I didn't feel the same. I think I got about halfway through and never actually finished it.
Yeah. I mean, so far to me, that with season 3, this is stronger than the book stuff. Like what went down in the books, there was a few really epic moments, but overall it wasn't as good as that first book of The Strain. So I think they're doing a better job with the story overall. I don't know what they're going to do about the Nora stuff. That's like still a conundrum to me of like, where are they going to go with that character, what she did in the books. But I don't know about the Master being dead. I agree with you, Hank. It's kind of weird that they kind of went back on it. And yeah, when we were talking off air, it was kind of annoying me how he keeps getting the worms. Like, they should just be all over his face
because he's Dutch killed too.
Yeah, and Dutch too. Yeah, which is very, very, very odd.
Well, and we had that thing where, like, in the back of the taxi, did he put a knife in the back that had worms all over it?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think they ended the episode on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we come back the next week, nothing about it.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. They never did anything with that. Which is weird because, it felt like such a, oh, shit. F's,
yeah.
You know, he's got the worms in there.
Yep,
he's got the worms. Yeah, he's got them.
I think, you know, if you drink enough alcohol, it should kill the worms. So.
I think so. that's why Ephraim's the smartest one of all of them.
He should be okay.
Yeah.
That worm's going nowhere near F.
Really.
And the old man saw it go down the drain or whatever, right? Citrakian?
I think he did.
Damn slow.
I think he saw it, right?
I think.
So where's that going to end up now?
That was a strong worm that went down the drain.
Yeah. So they got to kill that to kill the master. Maybe that's what it's leading to in the Oxytolumen.
I think that was the grossest thing that I've seen on the show so far.
It was that big worm.
Yeah. It's nasty.
I mean, that was like a snake. Mm-hmm. And at first I was afraid because, you know, supposedly if the master dies, Quinlan dies. But we know the master may be dead. His body must be dead.
Just Bolivar's body, right?
Yeah, but not the master, so.
Well, you know what next week's episode is called?
I do.
It is Gone But Not Forgotten.
Yeah.
So
they're going to realize that Strigoi is still walking around, so it means the master survived.
Could be.
Right.
And the old man saw the little worm or whatever, so.
Yeah.
Because that's true. That was another question I was going to pose to you guys is, okay, because if Quinlan dies because the master dies, wouldn't that mean all of the Strigoi that he has infected die or are turned back? I don't know if they just die or if they just revert back to their human form. Because I was wondering about Kelly as well, because she just kind of spurts off. We don't know where, I don't know where the hell she went at the end of this episode, because she was with the master. And then all of a sudden, you know, Quinlan starts shooting and everything, and the Navy SEALs start shooting, and then she's just nowhere to be found.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm curious, like, you would have thought that she would have immediately went, boom, just dropped as well.
Right.
Whenever the master got dropped. Even though, yes, the worm got out and everything. But, I mean, Quinlan, he dropped down. But, I mean, he'd been shot a bunch of times, too.
Yeah. Which I didn't want to see. I don't want him to die. I kind of fell in love with him in this episode. I mean, his whole character is just like, man, he is so awesome.
He is awesome.
Yeah, he is really awesome. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I'm kind of sad. One other thing about the master and Quinlan scene that was pretty damn epic is those silver grenades are amazing.
I know. Yeah. I'd forgotten about them.
Yeah, they were
so
badass.
That was Fett, right?
Yeah.
They came up with those?
I believe so, yeah. And I loved it whenever him and Satrakian were riding in the car and he's like, Abe was like, I want to put this, you know.
Yeah, you know where I'm going to stick this.
Stick this right up his ass. That was fantastic. I love them as well. So what do you guys give as far as bacon scores this week?
I give this episode 4.5 bacons. And because this is far and away my favorite episode, especially for this season. I still couldn't give it 5, though, because Gus and Angel just put the shit out of me.
Oh, that's what I was
going to
say. I think that killed the whole bacon for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would have given it 5 if it wasn't for them. I mean, that was just so dumb. It's still keeping his mom around and bleeding himself on a daily basis is so
stupid.
And
now she's loose running
around. Yeah, now she's loose. Although I did love the whole Mexican seatbelt. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a little funny moment. But they killed 2, or at least 1...
Humans, right?
Human.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucked.
Like,
to save her.
Yeah, like, you guys, Gus, you're dead to me now, man. Like,
this is dumb.
Like, how could you do that? Like, I get that those dudes were, you know, they were kind of being a little bit stern, I guess, if you will. But, I mean, you got to...
Take off that helmet.
Yeah, you got a Strigoi right there. Like, I mean, they should have just been like, hey, this is my mom. I'm trying to, you know, care for her, whatever. I mean, maybe then it would have made more sense for if they would have been like, no, we got to take her out or something like that. I feel like they could have just added a little bit more to that scene to make it plausible, mm-hmm. because otherwise you're just like, all the good stuff that Gus has done in the past, like he's just trying to erase it this season, like fighting with Angel, you know, saying that he was going to hacksaw freaking Angel to death in the kitchen. No, that I don't understand where they're going with that whole storyline at all. But I will say that they went to the Freedom Centers, right? Is that where they were at the end?
You know, I don't know. I
don't know. I thought it was like a jail or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Was it?
I thought it was a jail too, but obviously they're not jailing them. They're turning them right around and making them go sweep the streets. But so.
Yeah. He said that he was conscripting them.
Yeah.
So that's, I had to look that up, people.
Okay, and what is the exact definition of
compulsory enlistment for state service, typically into the armed forces? Yeah, I mean, I figured that. I mean, you know, you can look at context clues and get that, but I was like, conscription? Like, is that? Why couldn't he just said, we're enlisting you guys in our, you know, sweep team? So he had to use big words.
I liked it. I liked learning a new word.
No, that's true.
But that's not Ferrardo's team or anything, right? Feraldo, what's her?
Justine?
Yeah, Justine Feraldo.
I don't know. But
is she behind those Freedom Centers or no? That confused me. I don't know where they ended up.
No, she's behind both. She's in with Palmer on the Freedom Centers. She's just not 100% on board. She's not like, send everybody there to these Freedom Centers. And I mean, she's obviously a part of the sweep teams. That was her whole deal.
Right.
Previous seasons.
Right.
I just like the fact that, yeah, it was Chet from Weird Science. We've seen him pop up now on now The Strain as well as Outcast as well.
And, yeah.
I like that guy a
lot. It's so funny because I couldn't remember. I knew when I saw him that I got happy, mm-hmm. and I couldn't figure out why I did. Now I remember.
Yeah. Love that dude. Well, I'll just go ahead. It took a bacon score off of mine, or half a bacon for me as well for the Gus and Angel stuff. So I did 4.5 as well. 4.5. What did I say? 4.5 white worm infused bacons.
Oh no, you just ruined the bacon. Bacon is glorious. You put so white wrong. Worms in it, and that's disgusting, Justin. We just kicked you off of the podcast.
Oh man, I got kicked off my own podcast.
I can visualize that. Nasty.
Yeah, that is super nasty.
It's not
to say that I wouldn't eat it because it's still bacon, but
that's true. That's the thing about bacon. Even when it's bad, it's good. Yeah, I had bacon last night. Damn, it was so good. So good. Okay.
I'm gonna go 4.25.
Okay.
Because I love Quinlan so much. Yeah, the whole Gus thing was just dumb. But Rupert Penry Jones is my favorite. Yeah, so everything they had to do with him and the death of the master really surprising me, I thought was cool, and I thought, shit, you know, it's gonna get interesting from here. So let's see
what
happens.
Please, God, let it keep being interesting. I
wasn't expecting that one at all. That left me like, what?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well,
it was an excellent episode.
Where do you guys think it goes from there? And that's where we'll end the podcast on this. Like, do you have any thoughts on, you know, where does the master
Sugarboy
going to go? Yeah, the master worm go.
Oh my God.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I'm ready to watch it, which is weird because usually, you know, with this I'm like, whatever. But now I'm ready to see what happens next. Which is
that's
good.
Cool. That is good. I don't know, Justin. Where do you think the worm is going to go?
The only logical place that I think it could go is to Kelly.
See, that's kind of what I was thinking too, because she was the second in command
at that point. But think about it this way: Eichhorst. Just imagine if the worm passes him over again. How pissed he will be, because jeez, you know how pissed he was. You know, he was pissy pants whenever it went to Bolivar opposed to him.
Yeah.
I think that was probably one of the weirdest things from that whole meeting is just like, you know, he did tell him not to bring the Nazi butler.
Yeah.
But he also said not to bring Kelly. Like, he didn't want anybody but him and Zach at this place where they go fishing or whatever. It's weird to not have Eichhorst there as his backup. Because I mean, if the worm would have went away right there, Eichhorst would have been like, boom, right there, and just picked it on up and said, I'm the master now, bitches.
He didn't say not to bring Kelly. He just said that Kelly doesn't know where this special spot is, that only he and Zach knew where it was.
Oh.
That's how he was trying to ensure that Zach would be brought.
Gotcha. Okay. So, makes more sense now.
Well, yeah, I hope the worm doesn't end up in Eichhorst, because that just means we're going to lose him.
He's
such a cool character. I want him to stick around. I don't want him to die in 3 episodes.
Maybe it's going
to
be Palmer.
Oh,
I don't think
he's too weak, right?
Eichhorst would be super pissed if that happened.
I know, that'd be great,
man. Oh, that would be even so much more fun. Yeah. The dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah.
If Palmer was suddenly the master.
That'd be crazy.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting.
Kelly,
I don't know.
Is a good choice though.
The only reason I think Kelly is because I mean she's right there and
she's already kind of sentient, right? She's got her own thoughts.
Yeah. Well, that's just because the master's allowing her though at this point. So I don't know. Kelly could work out because then it would put even more of a rift between Zach, Kelly, and F. I don't know. I'm not sure. If you guys have any thoughts, feel free to let us know. You can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. And I think that's the end of our podcast.
That's it.
All right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed our conversations on The Strain, Season 3, Episode 3, Firstborn. We're excited to find out what happens next week in Gone But Not Forgotten. Hopefully that doesn't mean that Quinlan is gone but not forgotten.
No way.
That will be bad.
No way.
All right.
Hope not. All right. Well, then I'm going to say bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming and I reap what I done sowed. Hey, hey. Well, let me tell you something. Long old troublesome road, and I'm looking for somebody coming here.